You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. This week, Steve steals whatever's not nailed down or on fire. John has crossed oceans of time to find you. And hey, Kev is back again. This time, hopefully, to stay.
Hello!
You're listening to the smooth, smooth sounds of Blast Processing. The official podcast of all things video gaming,
gadget,
and community based.
Because we are a pillar of the community.
Yep. We are. Wow, I'm back!
Kevin's back! Holy shit!
Where did I come from?
Where did he come from?
Where were you guys? I was recording podcasts all over the place.
From the outer depths. From the forever dark.
I sat down, I talked about video games, and you guys weren't there.
Oh, god damn.
What?
What was that? Some trailer from, like, old classic movie. It might have been Masters of the Universe. From beyond something, something to, fucking, who cares?
Wasn't that Crow? Beyond your something imagination.
Yes, yeah, that was it. Yep. Anyway.
Yes.
This is Blast
Crow reference for tonight.
I think that was actually a Dune reference.
It was
a place beyond your wildest dreams.
Yeah.
A movie beyond your wildest imagination.
Totally it was Dune. Right. It was totally Dune.
It should have been Crow.
Now, Dino De Laurentiis presents
Crawl.
No, it was...
I'm insane!
The novel that was talked about. Something, something, something.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, digression. Hello.
Huh.
When I get out of here, I'm going to write me a book. It's going to be a real smackaroony.
I don't care. When I get out of here, I'm going to write a book. It's going to be a real smackaroon.
Anyway, this is Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming.
Meandering.
Didn't we already do this?
And dismissive.
Yeah. Gadget gear related on...
DVVerdict.com.
That's right.
.com.edu.uk.co.au. AU.jp.
SE.
.co.uk.
It's my least favorite one.
.co.uk?
Yeah. It's too much,
every
man.
Every time I hear .co.uk, I think UK co-eds. Woo!
Alright, so video games.
Yeah.
.co-uk.
Video games.
Yeah.
Video games.
Got a new one, Steve. Didn't you want to talk about one to open us up today?
Let's begin, shall we? Let's begin in a dark and oppressive and dystopian plague and rat-ridden city. With tall buildings that cast long shadows.
Dude, Dishonored was 2012.
You're right. It was. I'm talking about Thief. You know, or as it was originally called, Thief 4F. It's not actually Thief 4, it's just Thief. It's a reboot or relaunch or whatever.
Is it modern day?
No.
Oh, good.
No, it's not modern day. Good. It's still very much the original, like, you know, that... I can't even say steampunk because it wasn't
right.
Steampunk.
Yes. Dark fantasy meets turn of the century.
Clockwork punk.
Yeah.
It's kind of clockwork punk.
Do you still get water arrows in it?
You do still get water
arrows.
I'm
reasonably sure I saw an electric fan in someone's room in this game.
Yeah, probably.
But it was attached to a giant box, which was probably full of gears.
Yeah. Thief. You, again, play as Garrett, Master Thief, in the nondescript city known as The City.
It was all. Why are people making fun of that? Wasn't it always just the city?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of this game is really cool. The setting is beautiful, really, really well executed. Garrett himself is a pretty cool, if a little cipherish character, more so even than the dude in Dishonored, which felt kind of like, you know.
Well, he didn't talk Dishonored. He was a solid protagonist.
He was, and he felt more than a little inspired by BioShock, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This one, you know, Garrett is more mouthy and talky and stuff. Gameplay-wise, there's some mechanics in there that are really cool. There's a quick dash you can hit that's very similar to Dishonored's, the quick getaway in Dishonored, you know?
We did forget to mention this is the latest experiment in the Square Enix Eidos relationship.
Yeah, which is, and again, you know, and there's a lot to like about this game. It's pretty. It's very well realized in terms of setting. The mechanics of you being a master thief are captured in much the same way they always have been, so it's certainly not tarnishing the legacy. But for some reason, it didn't grab me.
Right.
I just, you know, I started playing and...
It didn't steal you.
It didn't steal me away, no.
Ah.
Well played. Well played. See, that time on the stage has sharpened your reflexes.
He's come back with a rapier wit.
Your intellect is truly staggering.
Plus picture five, man.
Picture Kev like dude from The Rocketeer. Are you afraid I'm stealing the scene?
Yeah, it's a good game. I'm not going to lie. I mean, the quality is there. A lot of reviews haven't been kind. Reviews have been middling. I don't entirely agree with the negative comments that were brought out. Technically, you know, there was a lot of talk of frame rate and resolution and whatnot. I thought it was a fine-looking game.
Actually, I found the frame rate and the resolution took a major hit during cutscenes.
Yeah?
Yeah, to me, it looked like this was a game that was developed for PS3 and Xbox 360.
And then ported up.
And it's like... Yeah. Yeah, but they... I forget what studio... somebody...
Eidos Montreal was the...
But they had somebody, like, give the Xbox One, PS4, and PC releases were given, like, the graphical once-over, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They were polished. I mean, it's a very pretty-looking game. But then you get to the cutscenes, and it's... I'm getting that same kind of disconnect that I did, you know, trying to go back to Dreamcast game when you had the PS2.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a noticeable difference there.
One thing I will say, too, like, when the first week it came out, I mean, I picked up the PS4 version, and I played, you know, about 2 hours, 3 hours of it, and I was online looking at some screenshot comparisons between, like, the next-gen and current-gen versions, and there was a lot of talk about the Xbox One version, how it was lower resolution, and again, with this whole 1080p gate or whatever, you know, and... It looked fine. The Xbox One version next to the PS4 version looked okay. It looked fine. There was no discernible difference that I could see.
Well, we said that last week, man, about the 1080, 720 thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're not really going to be able to tell the difference. Your Xbox One games are still going to look gorgeous.
Yeah. But one thing I did find, you know, I look at the PS4 version or the Xbox One version, and I say, it's a nice-looking game. You know, it's a pretty-looking game, but it's not like... It didn't have that same gobsmacking effect that, like, Killzone Shadowfall had, or even Battlefield 4 and Call of Duty. Like, remember how blown away we were by Battlefield and Call of Duty?
First time we saw our textures in Rise.
Yeah, like, you know, or even with Call of Duty in particular, I know we fired up Ghosts on PS3 and played the first mission, and then fired it up on the PS4, and it was like, holy shit!
Yeah.
You know? But with this, it looks nice, but it wasn't like, yeah, this is a next-gen game, you know? And then I looked at the PS3 version... And saw some video of the PS3 version in action. And I was like, God damn, for a PS3 game, that is fucking pretty. You know? So I think it's kind of... That little bit of a gulf is there, you know? It's kind of one of those games that, like... On last-gen, it does the last-gen amazingly proud.
Yeah.
But for a next-gen game, it's passable.
Right.
And what's worse is it's kind of damned because... You know, it's one of the spear tips of the next gen. You know, it's one of those early releases, so of course it's going to be judged as an Xbox One, PlayStation 4 game. When I think really it should be kind of held up more as a last gen game,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and the gameplay is good, it's solid, but it just didn't grab me. It didn't really hold my attention at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was never into the old Thief games. I honestly never played them. Never. I didn't even play the. The Xbox, was it Deadly Shadows?
I love Deadly Shadows.
Those original loved it. For original Xbox, right?
Yeah, I thought Deadly Shadows was great. And in fact, after playing the PS4 version, I went back and fired up Deadly Shadows again. And I was like, man, this game was great. And I think the stealth mechanics, like the hiding in shadows and stuff like that, I think a lot of it was... It felt kind of forced. And it didn't feel like there was enough going on in your surroundings to make you feel like you were...
Felt like you were in puzzle rooms.
Not even that, but, like, the lighting and stuff, it was such that you didn't have that stark contrast between light and darkness and stuff like that, like you'd even see in something like Splinter Cell. So, you know, you're, like, playing Splinter Cell Blacklist, you knew when you were sneaked out. You know, you knew when, like, there was nobody spotting you. Whereas playing this, it was kind of like... It felt very arbitrary in terms of how I was hidden or not hidden. It was just looking at a little icon on the corner of my HUD. You know? It didn't feel... I felt disconnected from the character. I really did. And I think it actually might have worked a lot better had it been a third-person game. And Deadly Shadows, the thing about Deadly Shadows on Xbox is it was a third-person game. When you got into Shadows, you could see, like, the little faint outlines of aura around your character and stuff. You knew when you were hidden, and you looked hidden, you know? Whereas with this, it just, it never really gives you that illusion of...
I spent so much of the game crouched just so I could see Garrett's hands in front of him. So I had a frame of reference for... Because I found it really disoriented.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? With, you know, because... He didn't have his... Like, there was nothing out in front of you.
Yeah. And those first few missions with Mrs.
Yeah.
Or the first few parts of that first mission with the chick thief.
With Aaron.
I don't remember her name, yeah.
Aaron.
They were fucking annoying as shit.
Yeah.
No, you can't kill people. Oh, what are you doing with that hook? And I was like, oh my God, I hate you. Right now, I hate being you. And that, you know, your protagonist... You're playing a game where you're playing a master thief. You should never hate this character. You should be like, I feel like the king of the bastards,
yeah.
You know?
No, I was, yeah, and he had me at first, right from the, he makes a thing about money can buy or whatever, right?
Mm.
When first introduced the city. And then he says, when have I ever paid for anything?
Yeah, I thought that stuff was kind of cheesy, too. I thought that...
I said, you want to know something? If that came out of Cary Elwes's mouth, I'd have bought right into it.
Yeah, it felt very, very...
Cary Ewells, sorry.
Cary Ewells, yeah. It felt very, very 90s. It felt very much a product of, like, that early PC.
And that's what I'm getting at.
You know?
The way the story unfolds in Thief is very late 90s PC.
Yeah.
It fucks it. I felt like I was playing Command & Conquer. Because you'd get a cutscene, like you'd get your storyline cutscene, and then it'd set you loose into a chapter. And the chapters in Thief are immense.
Yeah, they're
right. You're
they're
looking two to 3 hours of gameplay time. That's all completely out of context with the main story of the game.
Yeah,
it's like you're, you know, Grand Theft Auto style stuff. You know, you're just moving from mission to mission, checkpoint to checkpoint. There's a bit of a confusing overworld map, and
I liked the city hub though. I liked roaming around the city.
Oh,
hub.
So did I. Yeah, but it's a lot of it looks. I mean. There's not a whole lot of landmarks,
it
right?
It never lets you feel like you're in a living city.
And it also never lets you feel like Garrett should be like Spider-Man up on the rooftops. He knows the entire layout of this city, right?
Yeah.
This man is a moving shadow. Yet, I'm rounding corners and getting lost. But you're playing for 2 to 3 hours completely out of context with the story until you finish the chapter, and then you get another cutscene that advances...
Advances,
you know, this... He's trying to figure out this big world-changing event that put this despotic baron in control of the city.
I also really didn't like the supernatural aspects of it.
Yeah, that's...
That was kind of dumb.
Hmm.
I did like the one line of dialogue, though. Robes. Robes are never a good sign, or something like that, when he sees all the guys, the cultists.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, see, I needed more of that. That's what I needed more of.
I remember when you and I were watching a trailer for it, or a gameplay... I think it was a gameplay trailer or like a playthrough by the development team, and one of us made the comment that it's Locke Lamora, the video game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was crazy excited for it because, I mean, man, I'm all about thieves. I'm all about that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm not saying that I am a thief, but
I'm all about robbing.
Yeah. Pilfering. Pilfering, like, that's a role model. What does it say about a man when all of his role models are rogues and scoundrels? But, and that's just... I didn't feel like much of a scoundrel playing thief.
No, you're just going around robbing pens and letter openers.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing. The scoring system is shit. That scoring system is garbage, man. Like, you know, you got one big take that you're trying to get. Rather than having you just roam around the house stealing bracelets and brooches and pens and opening every drawer and, like, it seems very small-minded.
Yeah.
You know?
I love the stuff, like, when you get a letter, it tells you about a safe in some place. I loved all the bits about, that painting looks my fancy, and then he feels around, feels the switch, and lifts and gets a safe for, like, slicing the artwork out of a frame and everything.
And doing it while someone else is standing there in the room and shit. Like, that shit was cool. When it clicks, like, it clicks really well.
It would have been even more badass for me if, you know, he took the painting out that flipped it over and saw, like, a combination written on the inside of vellum or, like, a map or some shit, right?
I think,
like,
it's a game
that... Every mission should have been leading up to Garrett stealing something that, you know, would retire a normal thief.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, at first, like, my initial reaction was like, yeah, I'm digging this, I'm really digging this, and by the third mission, it was just complete malaise. complete and utter. You know, like it was just like, okay, I can't play anymore of this game. I just can't.
That's too bad.
You know, and it's kind of, it is kind of a drag, but there it is. There is Thief.
Yeah, it feels feels very much something that should have come out 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I only ever played the first one, actually.
On PC.
Yeah. I probably didn't even own it. I probably played yours.
There's a good chance.
Yeah.
There's a good chance. There's something else, too, that they did with the first two on PC that they didn't do with the Xbox One or the new one that kind of pisses me off. He had a sword. You could pull out a sword, you know, when guards
I always thought I saw screenshots like a rapier blade.
He had a sword, just a normal long sword that you could pull out when you were stuck in a pinch. I mean, you still didn't want to fight, but if you had to, that option was there.
Now he's a cudgel, doesn't he?
Yeah, now he's got a blackjack. You know?
Blackjack's cool, though.
No. Kind of lame.
Yeah.
Kind of lame.
And like, another thing I'm not liking about it is this guy looks like a cat burglar.
Yep.
And yet he's bitching out his little protege in the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Because she's got some, or former protege, because she's got a climbing tool.
Well, no, it's not about the fact that it's a climbing tool, it's that she's using it to kill the guards.
Yeah.
She's using it as a lethal weapon, right?
So but it's, like, no, but it's just all this stuff like a, he goes about your addiction to that claw.
Yeah, and yeah, that was a bit stupid. Yeah. And then what does he do but take it?
Yeah. And he still has it on his person. Not getting him within this. I'm just taking and whipped it off the top of the roof.
Yeah. So, yeah, Thief. You know, it's a solid game. If you're a fan of the originals, it's definitely well worth a try.
Right.
If you're a starved PlayStation 4 or Xbox One owner.
Which you probably are if you own a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One.
Yeah, you probably are starved.
I know I am.
Just go get Tomb Raider and play through that again.
There you go. For a better example of the Square Enix Eidos relationship.
Yeah, or, you know, wait till next week and play Titanfall, I guess.
Well, I played something last week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you play? Was it a video game?
It was a video game. Actually, I played it with you guys here in the room. Steve played it, too.
I did.
Yeah. I wasn't here last week.
You were here last Sunday.
Well, I was.
You were.
Stop playing Minecraft, Kevin.
I'm not playing Minecraft.
Stop moving icons around your iPad, Kevin. God. So rude. I'm trying to record a podcast here.
I can do two things at once. Just read your review.
Yeah. Well, it makes me kind of sad because I was hoping Steve was going to have this like crazy positive review of Thief before I proceeded to slag the shit out of Lords of Shadow 2.
Oh.
But no, that ain't going
to happen. Bump, bump, bump,
womp. Womp, womp. Actually, no, I can't even say I slagged the shit out of it, but
oh, I can't wait to hear this.
I've never had a, like, this game yo-yoed me back and forth so hard, I had to get rid of it. I get, like, I was having heart palpitations just being near the box.
It's like me in a Star Trek game, although I did finish it. Boy, that was tough.
So, yeah, Castlevania Lords of
Shadow. I enjoyed the Star Trek game.
You also enjoyed Risen.
Hey.
It's all Castlevania, dude. Yeah.
And what was that other one? Aero Draconis?
I'm not even talking to you anymore.
Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 opens with a fantastic sales pitch that essentially boils down the best-playing parts of 2010's Lords of Shadow and serves them up hot in an incredibly exciting prologue. Players whip their way through fanatical armored knights in a gorgeous throne room. Pound on them with three devastating weapons. You learn how to effectively dodge, parry, and counterattack with vicious precision. It's a pretty neat little tutorial, right?
Yeah.
That's why they made you do things over and over.
Until it went on for like an hour too long.
Actually, it did feel like it was about an hour long.
It did. Way too long.
You know, you scale this massive siege titan as it attempts to bludgeon its way into Castlevania.
And I'm sure you loved that part. I thought it was freaking stupid. It drove me crazy.
Well, actually, I didn't love it. I love platforming. I love that whole, the Uncharted climb, the Shadow of the Colossus climb, when it's done well.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
No.
It really wasn't.
Like, I like the scale of it. I love the fact, you know, you're dodging arrow fire and everything when you're doing it, but it's just, it was way too much trial and error.
Yeah, and way too much, like, okay, jump. Now you've got to wait because the pattern says the arrow is going to fire now. Okay, now you can jump.
Yeah.
Oh, but you gotta stay there for a second. Okay, now you can jump. Like, the way they
don't let the gear wheel hit you.
Yeah, the way they forced you to stop, and then the way they constantly change the camera angle around to show you what to do.
Whereas you play something like Infamous, and you feel like this guy feels agile.
Yeah, Uncharted, or any of the Assassin's Creed games. Yeah. Like free climbing and stuff in Assassin's Creed.
Even holding the run button in Thief.
Yeah. And yeah, that was actually pretty... That was actually well done. I forgot to mention that. The running mechanic worked really well.
And then, you know, you you bring down that giant armored beast crashing the ground, and then sink your fangs into a golden armored paladin, who's been dogging you the whole time.
Yeah, and that was a cool boss fight, too.
It was a cool boss fight, but, you know, they make you fight him twice.
Yeah.
I would have liked it... You brought it up last week. I would have liked the fact, you know, you fight him once, then you finally bring down the titan. It would have been awesome if... And, I mean, I know a lot of people... Like, a lot of people complain because... Too often in video games, the cutscenes show you something awesome instead of letting you play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so go the Batman Arkham Origins Electrocutioner route with it.
Yeah.
Have his pal stand there taunting you with his big curved sword or whatever. You go in, and the very first attack, Dracula knocks his helmet off and, like, bites into his neck or rips his head off his shoulders or runs him through with, like, his big clawed hand.
Because that was, I mean, irregardless of what anybody wants to say about Arkham Origins, I thought Arkham Origins was a fan-fucking cast.
Oh, dude, that Electrocutioner part, we were all howling with fits of laughter at
that. That was incredible. And, I mean, and then
especially
right after
the very first, or the very last thing he says to you before you do that is there's going to be two hits, me hitting you and you hitting 50,000 volts.
Yeah.
And, you know, what did he drop kick him?
Drop kick him, yeah. And then after that, I mean, immediately after that, you had the most amazing, one of the most amazing boss fights in video game history. With that's true.
Clearly,
you know,
clearly,
like,
man.
And they drive you around. It's like, okay, you've had 15 minutes to learn the combo system.
Yeah.
Now here's the most lethal assassin in the world.
Yeah. I wish they had kept that part of the game for later.
Yeah. Or at least made you fight Deathstroke like 3 times in it. No, he should have been dogging you throughout that whole game.
But that's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the right way to do it. The Paladin was not the right way to do it.
No. So, spoiler alert. What has it been? Little over 3 years since Lords of Shadow.
I think
that was
so,
late 2010, wasn't it?
I think so.
I think it was a Halloween release, actually. Gabriel Belmont has been corrupted by the dark power he was forced to wield to force Satan back into the abyss.
Poor Gabriel Belmont.
I actually feels kind of weird having them refer to him as Satan when the art style of the game and everything would almost demand they call him Lucifer.
I thought it was Satine.
Satine.
Satan. My mother had a cat growing up named Satan. you know, before and after the game, the events of the 3DS sequel, Mirror of Fate, which are thankfully truncated down to a delicious little cutscene before the main game begins.
That was a pretty cool cutscene.
It was, yeah. And the cutscene, actually, no, this will come later on here. Ugh, going over my notes. Belmont's waged war on humanity, carving a bloody swath of vengeance against the followers of the god he believes betrayed him. He's taken on the name Dracula, the dragon. Along the way, his son Trevor and grandson Simon are brought into battle against him, with one being cursed with the very same vampiric immortality, and the other going on to continue the famous Belmont clan of monster hunters.
Hmm.
And the problem is with this cutscene is I'm like, why am I not playing this game?
Yeah, exactly.
Because this looks awesome. And, in Lords of Shadow 2, players are cast in the role of Dracula himself, who now seeks to repent for hundreds of years of blind vengeance and evil deeds. And has been promised true death should he stop the acolytes of Satine from summoning old Scratchback once more from the depths of hell to conquer the world. As you can gather, Lords of Shadow 2 loves shoveling out exposition and world-building to crack a mask of respectability around itself. This reflects the gameplay as well.
No, it doesn't.
No, like the mask of respectability.
Mask of respect. Okay, all right. Okay.
There's a palpable disconnect between the lavishly designed castle sections and the segments that have Dracula skulking through uninspired modern-day areas, forced into boring stealth segments where he completes remedial puzzles with rats and bat swarms as distractions and possession spells to force baddies into opening doors. A single slip-up means a punishing instant-kill and a load screen while Drax returned to his last checkpoint. Now imagine my disappointment when the very first section after the game's powerhouse slobber-knocker opening was creeping into a boring warehouse. Boo, I say.
Boo. Oh my god, man. That was the worst kind of B-level PlayStation 2 bullshit.
Oh, dude, the stuff the lesser studios get made fun of for it.
Yeah, and back in the day, you know, on PS2. And even, like, the art design of the bad guys and stuff.
Yeah.
Fucking bland, man.
the darkest glyph thou bearest. Thy name be Chaos Legion.
Lords of Shadow 2 makes up for the anemic stealth puzzles with some pretty beefy combat that often wades into the promise of being legitimately cerebral. Drek can dodge in all directions with a speedy dash. It's a huge improvement over last game's clunky roll. The immensely powerful and satisfying parry mechanic makes a return, asking players to time their blocks properly to leave enemies wide open for reprisals so punishing they might as well be described as cruel. There's two additional weapons beyond the series' trademark whip, a sword that refills life for every successful strike, and a pair of fiery gauntlets that smash through shields.
Neither of them worked perfectly, though, and I know you say it was like a game balance thing, and maybe it is, but when there's no feeling of weight, like no feeling of impact with the sword, and then you've got the claw, like the hands, which
feel like you're hitting them with a sledgehammer.
You feel like you're hitting them with a sledgehammer, but there's no interrupt. Yeah. Like, you know, you're pounding into these guys, and they're still able to counterattack, like they're not even
getting bothered. Yet the whip interrupts there.
And yet the whip interrupts everything. Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, the weapon's got to be powered through a focus bar, which I hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've oftentimes in Lords of Shadow, I mean, the game is punishingly difficult, too, so it's really easy to just have your life bar sapped.
I'm just going to go play Heavenly Sword again. They did it right.
Yeah.
Mm.
Your life bar gets sapped really quickly, and you want to switch to the sword to fill it back up again?
Yeah.
Well, too bad. You didn't fill a focus bar because you got hit once or twice.
So it's back to checkpoint for you, bitch.
Yeah. You know, combat, it's easily the best part of Lords of Shadow 2. It's all about chipping away at your foes until they expose themselves for violent retribution. But it's, even still, it's...
You did not do enough damage.
No. It's really... Yeah, you feel like you're chipping away at
them. Yeah, the fodder is... It just takes too long to get through the levels because the fodder is just so relentless.
Yeah.
And it's not fun. It's not... I mean, at least with God of War, you know, like, yes, they made you fight a lot of shit, but you felt like you were ripping stuff apart, you know?
Yeah, and even, like, everyone, you know, rags on the quick time events and everything.
Yeah.
War. And, I mean, yeah, they do come pretty heavy in the game.
But they're satisfying.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's like, I love how it worked in Darksiders, a single button. You felt like you were just, like, you're fighting this little demon that takes two or three hits, and then you hit your power slash attack and cut the fucking thing.
Sure, look at Arkham. Look at the Arkham games. Yeah. I mean, Batman just rips through people, right? Like, you come in and, like, the way the combat is fractured and the way he moves from one target to the next and the way he counters and stuff. I mean, yes, it was inspired by Assassin's Creed, the guys at Rocksteady said so much, but it did it perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, like, it did it flawlessly. Right?
I never got tired of the combat.
No.
I could fight 100 guys that keep spying.
I think there's challenge rooms based around that.
Yeah, there is. And I'd never get tired of it.
And there were a few other games that borrowed from Arkham, which is cool. You know, like they kind of borrowed the combat from Arkham. Like Remember Me borrowed its melee system from Arkham. And
I never got tired of the combat in Remember Me.
It worked wicked. It worked fantastically well.
Yeah, but I talked about this last episode with Strider. I can't do weightless combat.
No.
Yeah, and Lords of Shadow 2 was a pretty big disappointment for me. There's some parts to it that feel like, you know, it's attempting to repent, but for the most part, it's a really, really lackluster sequel to a game that
I was always kind of concerned about it because for so long we knew it was coming, but we didn't know when.
Yeah.
Like, there was never any talk of release dates or anything like this. There's, oh, here's a new trailer. Oh, yeah, that game is still a thing. You know, it was kind
of
like that
Sin City 2 trailer. Whereas Lords of Shadow 1 got the fucking Metal Gear treatment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that was a big deal.
But it was like that, you know, Sin City 2 trailer came out earlier this week. Not to digress too much, but I saw that and I was like, Sin City 2 is still a thing? You know, like, it still exists?
I haven't even watched the trailer.
It was cool.
Okay.
But, you know, I get the same thing from Lords of Shadow. It was like the game was just kind of
abandoned. It was cooler than Lords of Shadow 2.
It was just abandoned, you know?
Blood is everything.
And it
blood is everything.
It is.
Blood is table. Blood is sandwich.
Blood is lamp.
And, at least the voice acting's cool.
Yeah, the voice acting was good. And the story seems cool. Like, I like the future feel, and I like the cutscenes a lot, but...
And then you gotta go back and play the game, and...
Yeah,
and it's just, And, you know, it feels really crushing, because I really enjoyed Lords of Shadow.
So did I.
And it just, you know, it looks like we're back to the old, disappointing Mercury Steam. You know,
Mercury Steam?
Yeah, this isn't the studio that made Lords of Shadow. This is the studio that made Jericho.
They did Jericho?
Clive Barker's Jericho.
That's right, they did. Yeah.
That's why everyone was worried when it got announced that they got Castlevania, because Jericho was really, really sloppy.
Really bland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Jericho was another one, too, though. The setting, art design is awesome.
Yeah.
But then the gameplay is just cookie cutter.
Yeah, generic FPS.
Wouldn't have even passed in PS2, right?
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff came out after the release of Lords of Shadow 2, too, about the internal workings of the studio.
Yeah.
There was a lot of negative stuff said. I can't remember if he was one of the level design leads or one of the art leads or something like that, basically came out and totally trashed the director of the game and the head of the studio. Basically said that they were a bunch of egomaniacs who couldn't be approached about anything. The game development was essentially broken because every time a good idea was presented, they took it, they claimed that they ran with it. You couldn't deviate from their plan at all. Like, they ran it like an iron fist, but then they made themselves completely unapproachable. And apparently the game just totally suffered because of it. It was just spinning wheels. A lot of, like, significant lack of planning and organization.
That sounds like a news story.
Yeah, no sign of any kind of guidance whatsoever, right? So, I mean, you know, runaway production, we'll say.
It sounds like a news story.
It does. And it's time for the news!
The news? Never mind. Next week.
No, after the news.
After the news.
After the news?
Yeah.
Oh. We can't have three reviews in a row. What the hell is wrong?
Let's get this news done.
It's good news, everyone.
Is it?
Risen 3, bitches.
Oh, I never even, you know, I'm going to just go to the washroom.
What?
So tell us a little bit about it. Come on.
It's coming out.
I'm serious, though. I'm going to go to the washroom.
You bastard. It's called Risen 3, Titan Lords.
You make that tinkle quick.
It's coming this August. It's coming for PC, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360.
Hanging off your face.
It is coming for PS3, 360, PC, August. Back to the more medieval fantasy kind of thing. Piranha Bytes. They're going back to the older games. They're going back to the gothic style feel.
That sounds like a Ninja Turtles villain. Piranha Bytes.
Piranha Bytes. I like the old gothic games. I thought they were good. Risen was a bit more... It didn't have the same epic scope that Gothic did.
Yeah.
I like Risen. I enjoyed it. I played it on a lot on PC. I played it a little bit on Xbox 360. Risen 2, I was a little disappointed with. Risen 2, I will say, kind of let me down.
Is that the pirate one?
That's the pirate one. I was expecting a lot of good stuff from that one, and it did kind of let me down. But this one does look freaking awesome.
That guy in Risen 2, man, looked like Todd McFarlane drew the Deacon from Waterworld.
But now, this one does look really good. They haven't released any trailers or anything yet, just a few screenshots, but they are gorgeous. I'm looking forward to it. I like the idea of, like, just an open-world fantasy game where you can kind of do as you please.
Yeah.
And Gothic 3 and Gothic 2 were both really good because of that. You could just kind of roam around, you know?
Was the last Gothic game, was that the one you were playing where you were climbing a giant wizard tree?
Arcana, yeah, it was Gothic 4. That wasn't developed by them, though. Okay. That was another studio. They parted ways with the guys who owned... Well, they created Gothic... And then the guys who published Gothic kind of kicked him off of it. It was that there was a big brouhaha kicked up over that over in Eastern Europe because of it, you know. But they came back then with Risen, and this other group did Gothic 4, right?
Okay.
Which became Arcana, which was a pretty cool game, actually. It wasn't a bad game. It was a very, very linear RPG.
Was it Super Nintendo or Arcana?
I don't know. Sure.
Forget it. RPG with the cards.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. It was a good game. Arcana was good. Arcana felt more like Fable, though. It was more guided. It was more linear than...
So that was the one with the big tree.
Yeah.
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 That section was kind of cool. No Witcher, though.
No Witcher. No Witcher.
But you know what? You can't always have AAA, and the more entries you get into a genre, the better.
That's right.
So, if Steve gets a mention of Risen 3, I'm totally bringing up Azure Striker Gunvolt.
What?
Into Creates and KJ Inafune.
Oh, okay. All right.
2D running gun platformer. Okay. Crazy boss fights.
Okay.
Nintendo 3DS.
This summer.
Get at me, Miss Song.
Gone. Check it out.
Apparently,
you just said a bad word.
It's an eShop title, so I don't know. You might get it on Wii U.
eShop title?
Yeah, downloadable game. It's, they're looking at the fact that people are going to play full price for, you know...
A shooter.
Yeah, for a shoot, like something related to Mega Man X or Contra 3.
Why would they?
I don't know.
I guess people paid full price for Contra 4.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a piece of crap.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there was one trailer, crazy Japanese and understand a lot of it. A lot of nice...
So it sounds like your kind of game.
Yeah, not like nice pixel-based graphics. It looks like a treasure game, man. It looks like... Right? It's definitely my thing. It's totally my thing.
Okay.
What did I miss? Mostly that was just gas, guys, in case you're wondering. Let's continue with the news, shall we?
Yeah.
Rocksteady returns to Gotham City this fall with Batman Arkham Knight.
Is he bringing Bebop with him?
Oh. Yeah, I wish he would, actually. Details are scarce, so we don't know about Bebop yet, or Baxter Stockman, or any of that crowd. But expect a Gotham City that's 5 times bigger than it was in Arkham City. Arkham City wasn't that big anyway.
Arkham Origins felt pretty big.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I'm not very far. Like, I hardly touched it, actually.
They're neglecting that one, though.
Arkham City, yes, and a drivable Batmobile.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me really excited. The Scarecrow's rallying a ton of villains to put an end to the Bat once and for all. There's also a new arch-villain called Arkham Knight, and supposedly there's another stunner of an ending in the works.
Bet your Arkham Knight's Azrael.
Arkham Knight looks kind of cheesy, actually. There's only been his silhouette so far, but it's like an armored-up Batman with glowing blue eyes.
Wasn't that Azrael, essentially?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I got two problems.
Scarecrow's a bit player.
Well, no, I got no problem with Scarecrow, but I do have a problem with the whole rallying together Batman's strongest foes to get rid of him in one night. That sounds an awful lot like a game we played this past fall that starred Batman.
Now, yeah, but that's I guess it's a little different, but it's all semantics, isn't it? Because there was a bunch of people hired, right?
Yeah. I guess so.
It sounds like these guys are working together.
Well, it sounds even less ambitious story-wise in that regard.
Yes, true.
You know?
Like, sounds like the first Batman movie, the original Batman
movie. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
When Penguin, Catwoman, and the Riddler got together.
I also don't know how I feel about this Arkham Knight. Like,
right.
I'm kind of...
Yeah, I always hate that. I was thinking the game studio's developing a new villain. Because that always turns out so well. Todd McFarlane gave a spawn for Soul Calibur, so we're letting him create a fighter.
Necrid! Anybody remember Necrid?
Nope.
Sounds dirty. Sounds like something
Necrid. Necrid.
Like dead naked people.
So I'm interested, and it is worth mentioning as well that it is next gen only.
Right.
There is no PS3 or 360 version. It's PS4.
I was hoping it doesn't make people kind of, well, I suppose you can't really write it off since it came off last fall. But hope it doesn't cause people to, you know, forget Origins as the title that was just created just to keep the Batman franchise going until Rocksteady's next gen one. And I was really hoping after the end of Origins that the next title was going to be Suicide Squad.
Would have been kind of cool.
Dude, you would have been playing as Deathstroke. That would have been awesome.
I like Deathstroke. Even if he's a kind of a weird name. Deathstroke.
Well, they could have just called him Wilson. Slade.
Hmm. So,
would have been like Army of Two with, you know, superheroes. You're, like, killing superheroes.
So, Watch Dogs. We haven't talked about Watch Dogs in a while. Because we haven't really had anything to say about Watch Dogs until now.
There hasn't really been much to say about Watch Dogs. It kind of vanished off the radar.
It does have a confirmed re-release date. Of May 27th.
May 27th? That's not too far away.
That's not far away at all. I'm really glad, actually, because I was worried they were going to push it into summer or fall.
Right.
But May is a good time. May is not too far that people forget about it, but not, you know...
It's also pretty open competition-wise, so...
Yeah, it's not much. Not much around that time.
Yeah.
A small online collective are crying foul, don't they always... Claiming that graphically, the game is but a pale shadow to what was unveiled in 2013. I will say that it does look like the physics have taken a bit of a knock.
Really?
You don't see the animated trees swinging in the wind and stuff like that. You don't see, like, his coat flapping about in the breeze like you did in that first trailer. Particle effects and stuff. Like, in the first trailer, you see the cars hit the intersection and you see car parts and stuff just going everywhere. You don't see the debris and stuff like you did in that trailer. And the gloss doesn't appear to be there. Like, it doesn't appear to have the same sheen, but it does look freaking awesome. We all watched the story trailer there a little while ago, and that looks pretty damn dead.
It looked cool. I am, though. It looks like, from the trailer, it looks like a game that looks cool, but could be bad. And I'm optimistic about it, but at the same time, I think it could be one of those games, man, where we put it in day one and go,
oh, shit, this sucks.
A lot of the hands-on previews this week were overwhelmingly positive.
Oh, really?
Good.
And the big things they say about it, unlike, you know, Sleeping Dogs or Grand Theft Auto or Assassin's Creed or any of these, Pierce, the guy you play as, Aiden Pierce, is not an unstoppable juggernaut. They compare to combat and that kind of stuff in it, like all the, like, the gunfights and stuff. And instead of being like Grand Theft Auto where it's lock on and shoot, this plays more like Splinter Cell.
Okay.
You have to be sneaky. You can't get into a gunfight with a bunch of opponents because one or two strong hits take you down.
Right.
You have to really watch what you're doing. And the car chases and stuff, apparently, like, you can knock a car out of commission like that. Right. You know, like, it doesn't take... Yeah, it's not like Grand Theft Auto where you can just plow through everything and show up with the car, a burnt-out husk kind of thing. You know, it one or two strong knocks and your car is out of commission.
Cool.
Cops, like the AI, the Pursuit AI and stuff, is apparently also really intelligent. You basically have to get out of eyesight and then, like, switch to another vehicle and hide in it and that sort of thing. Like, there's a button when you're in a car, you can press circle, I believe is what they say, and you can crouch right down in the car. So if, you know, you park your car in a parking garage and the cops are going through the garage looking, you can get out of your car, sneak to another car, jump in, duck down. You know, like, it sounds really intelligent. It sounds like intelligently well, like, really well thought out,
cool,
you know?
Cool.
And I like the idea of a bit of Splinter Cell and Ghost Recon's combat mechanics sneaking into it, you know? So you're not just playing futuristic Assassin's Creed.
Right, right.
You know, you have to take things a bit more cautiously, right? Which really interests me. Like, I'm really pumped for that. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I really do. And the fact that Ubisoft had the balls to delay it for X number of months because they wanted something that was... AAA, you know, wanted the game that people were going to go, holy shit, you know?
Speaking of holy shit, Jack Tretton stepped down as the president of Sony Computer Entertainment America. Jack's undoubtedly been essential in Sony's recent successes, and he's been a wonderfully affable face for the PlayStation Nation. Best of luck, Mr. Tretton.
Yeah. I agree. He's going to be missed. He was pretty fun.
Should have dropped the mic at the way he announced it.
He did drop the mic on IGN, was it, or on Game Trailers?
Yeah.
Game Trailers, yeah. But I like that he kind of... He always felt like a bit more than just your typical businessman. He almost felt like he had almost like a personal investment in it. Like, you could say... I won't say he was one of those guys I'd love to have a beer with, because he wasn't. But I'm sure he was one of those guys who, you know, legitimately did sit down and try video games and did play video games and understood what it was. I'd love to have a beer with him.
He was rich. He'd probably pay for it.
Well, there you go.
Not so happily, Uncharted co-creator and creative director Amy Hennig has split from Naughty Dog after 10 years. Amid rumors, she was forced out by Last of Us creative directors Neil Druckmann and Bruce Straley. Rumors since blatantly denied by Naughty Dog presidents Evan Wells and Christoph Balestra, who refused to comment any further because it's none of our goddamn business.
It really isn't. Yeah, apparently it was not an amicable split.
Right.
It wasn't a happy-go-lucky split.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it was, like, you know, differences of opinion or something like that. I mean, Hennig is... To play devil's advocate right now, because everybody online is blaming Naughty Dog and crying foul and all of this kind of stuff, I'm going to say a person of her caliber in this industry, I mean, this chick is responsible for the Legacy of Kain series, Jack 2 and 3, and then into the Uncharted series. You know, like, she was one of the linchpins in Uncharted. I think for her to have been... Like, they don't say unceremoniously fired or terminated, and she's not talking about it, so obviously there's probably some kind of a gag order in place or whatever. I'm thinking, if there was a reason that she was asked to step down or asked to leave, she did it to herself. You know what I mean? I'm thinking it was a difference of opinion or something wherein, you know, there was an insurmountable obstacle that she was just too pig-headed to work past or compromise on, and, you know, gaming is not a one-man show.
No.
Unless you're Hideo Kojima.
Yeah, or that guy who made Fez. Or Flappy Bird.
Oh. And where are all these people now?
They all had nervous breakdowns.
Well, Kojima probably didn't have a nervous breakdown.
Oh, not Kojima,
but,
no.
But he gets more and more out of touch with humanity every day, so...
He's on the moon, bye.
He's on the moon, bye.
No, I think he's uploaded his consciousness to a supercomputer, now it's just a husk. Like, it's got a part of him left in it, but...
I sincerely, like, a lot of the comments coming out of him recently, especially right around the corner of the Metal Gear Solid 5 launch,
yeah.
I think he's really out of touch. I really do. I think the guy is, like, he's off in La La Land somewhere.
Yeah.
But Hennig, I don't know, you know, I think there's something more going on there. We'll never hear about it. I really don't think we will.
She's going to write romance novels.
There we go. That's what it is. In happier news, for some of us... Or soul-crushingly terrifying news for other people, I guess. Okay. Dark Souls 2, which is launching on PS3 and 360 on March 11th.
Woo!
This week, bitches.
That's very soon.
Yep. We'll be hitting PC on April 25th. So PC gamers, you can get your death on. You can die repeatedly like the rest of us.
Hmm.
I'm immensely stoked.
You're stoked, definitely, man.
Well, the Soul series is probably my favorite series of the last generation, so, you know, I'm immensely stoked. I cannot wait for this game. Especially after recently putting the kibosh on the first Dark Souls. I'm going through withdrawal now. I need another Souls game to play.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm A-okay with that. More interesting, again, there are now currently whispers swirling, maybe a little bit of a rumorang effect going on, that it may be hitting next-gen consoles.
Oh, yeah?
Sooner rather than later. And PC ports being as easy as they are with the next-gen consoles. I mean, I've been saying it since the machines were announced. If there's a PC version, you can pretty much bank on a next-gen version as well.
Hmm.
So, that's the word. The word on the street is we're going to see next-gen Dark Souls.
Well, then. That would be very cool.
I would like that.
I would like that, too, actually.
I'll probably already have it finished on PS3 at that point.
Yeah.
Or I'll be after weeping myself to sleep, and I'll be institutionalized somewhere.
Well, you know, if that game breaks you, there's another big release coming next week.
Yeah?
Yeah, Microsoft's been teasing some kind of announcement about the future of Titanfall. Future of Titanfall.
Are you about the exclusive version?
Towards the end of March. Shut up, peanut gallery. Vince Zampella of Respawn Entertainment, Respawn Entertainment, the guys who own and created Titanfall, has no idea what they're on about.
They don't? I find that hilarious. I find that absolutely hilarious.
I know he, Respawn actually came out this week and said, we didn't sell Microsoft Titanfall.
No.
We still own Titanfall. Yeah.
It's unreal how much Microsoft is banking on this game.
Yeah.
I cannot get over how much weight they're putting behind it.
Well, you know, they need it. They desperately need this to be the killer app, right?
Yeah.
This has to be Halo Mark 3.
Yeah, because we all know how well Rise did.
Yeah.
I don't even think I played it.
No? It was cool. I liked it. It just wasn't amazing. It wasn't holy shit balls. Wow, you know.
And it certainly wasn't directed at the Xbox demographic.
It almost felt more like a PlayStation game, actually.
So, finally, a European PlayStation store has listed 2013's commercial Kaiju, Grand Theft Auto V, as hitting the PS4 in the fall of this year. Filed this very firmly under rumoring material, still. We called it. Or one of you guys did, I didn't.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Yeah, did we?
Yeah.
As a collective,
I'm going to take credit for this one.
Yeah.
It was me, Austin. It was me all along.
This fall. I'd buy that for a dollar.
I've been saying it since day one. Well, I mean, we all know there's a PC version in the works. If there's a PC version in the works, there'll be a next-gen console.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
Hmm.
Could be an interesting fall if there's a GTA 5, PS4, and Xbox.
Yep. Xbox.
Isn't that Microsoft who said they hate it when people call it the Xbox?
Clearly, you really thought out your system title very carefully there, guys. Should put Skeletor's face on the box.
Actually, yeah, like doing like a nice mod to a case mod on an Xbox One to make it like
Pink Snake Mountain, and kind of like a dildo.
Oh,
there we go. There we go.
Feels like plastic flesh.
Because our audience is talking.
They're loud.
They're sentient.
Run! We've got an audience.
You know, make it like a He-Man type deal.
Yeah, the Skeletor laughing face from the opening Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Why am I even talking to you guys?
Actually, that'd be cool. I'm just on my PlayStation 4.
Now, Skeletor has him Xbox One as well. He doesn't possess all. He possesses nothing.
This is like the 25th anniversary of She-Ra this year, I think.
Well, oh, my God.
Kevin, you played a game, didn't you?
30th anniversary.
You played a game last week.
Did I? Well, yeah, I don't know which one to talk about. I played two games.
Talk about them both, man.
Yeah, it can be very short anyway. I don't ramble on like you, mother guys. So the first one I actually downloaded last night onto my iPad. These are both iPad games, iOS games.
It's called, someone needs to talk about
somebody
portals.
Needs to, right? It's called Devious Dungeon. It's made by Ravenous Games, same guys who made League of Evil, which is a pretty popular iOS game.
I would say so.
It is, you know, a retro kind of, you know, 2D platformer where the dungeons you go into are randomly generated every time. There's so many levels in each world, and there's a boss at the end of each one. It's kind of cool, you know, you get coins, you get treasure, you beat up bad guys, you buy stuff, and you just do that until your nose starts to bleed. What I don't like about it...
Your nose starts to bleed?
Well, I mean, like a lot of these iOS games, it's still a cash grab, right, for microtransactions. Unfortunately, you don't find anything in the dungeons aside from coins and experience and treasure that is worth coins. So you don't... Any items that you get, you have to buy from the shop. Which they do on purpose, obviously, because they want you to spend money to buy actual coins.
Fuckers.
Which sucks. Yeah, I hate it. And you can't... You can't, like, save up a whole bunch of coins and buy something really cool. You have to unlock each item in the shop as you buy them, right? Mm. It's that kind of, like, progression kind of thing for everything in the shop. It really sucks. But I can't kind of stop playing it. I guess I kind of like the idea of the dungeons being randomly generated, you know? And there are secret rooms in each, you know, in each dungeon where you can find, like, books that will give you extra experience points and that kind of stuff. And actually, tracking those down is kind of fun, because you go through walls and stuff like that. It reminds me of old school Nintendo, you know, and finding, like, little secret areas.
The problem I always got with these randomly created dungeons is that you can pretty much guarantee that it's just going to be made of, you know, shitty, boring, easy-to-apply tile sets. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's...
Fuck you, Diablo was awesome.
Yeah, Diablo was awesome. But this is all retro style, so it's kind of, you know...
I'd like to see someone do an 8-bit Diablo. That'd be fantastic.
It was called Gauntlet.
No. No, John.
You were wrong, Leonidas.
So I haven't played that one a fair bit. My only problems with it is the virtual controls are kind of bad. The AB button or BA button should be on an angle. They're not straight across on the iPad, which makes it kind of awkward to play with. If you want to drop down from a platform, you actually have to hold the jump button down. So you can't just drop down quickly. You jump first and then go down.
I'm kind of not a big fan of virtual controls anyway.
Yeah, me neither. If it had iCade support, I'd be all over it. Maybe it does. I don't even know. It probably doesn't. But it might. I should try it out.
You sure?
Yeah, that I hate. And I hate the mechanic of the coins. Whenever you destroy an item or a monster... coins pop out, but they bounce around as soon as they pop out, so you gotta, like, run after them to get them.
And then fall into a spike pit and die?
Yeah, even if you're standing on top of the item that you destroy, the coins just bing, and then you gotta go get them. It's really stupid. Anyways, so that one. Kind of a fun game. I'll probably play it for a while yet. And the other game, which I played... Actually, it's been a few months, but I haven't talked about it on the show. The Room 2.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
By Fireproof Games, sequel to the massive iOS hit The Room, and probably my favorite game of 2012. Did it come out?
I think so. I think it was like late 2012.
Yeah, not only my favorite iOS game, but one of my favorite games of that year. Just so good. And they've just upped the ante with The Room 2. You know, more of the creepy kind of history and letters that you find. Now, they did change it a little bit. You're not just in one room. Like, there are kind of environments that you're in sometimes. Like, you might be in a large cave, and you've got to go to different parts of that cave.
That's what homies would say. You're in a suite.
But it's kind of neat. And some of the puzzles in it are kind of cool. I mean, these kind of games are like myths, right? Like, yeah. Like that kind of stuff. Except way, way better.
Hey, bless you.
Like, there's one room in particular, this large room that's really cool because there's a box in the middle of it, and you've got to manipulate other stuff in the room to shine bits of light towards this thing to unlock different things. It's just so complex and really really awesome. It's the kind of game that you'll spend those, you know, 4 hours to play through it nonstop while sitting up in your bed late at night, scared shitless.
Right on.
Because the atmosphere is that good. Anyway, two big thumbs up. I think when the Room came out, it won the Apple kind of iOS game of the year, and I'd say this one got it for this year, definitely.
Already?
I think so, yeah. It's a damn good game.
Okay. I kind of think, like, just based on what I've seen, like, I mean, I go on every week, and I try to look at new releases every week on the App Store and all of that kind of stuff. It seems like, for a lot of games, the bloom is kind of starting to fall off the iOS rose for some reason.
Oh, really?
You don't see the must-play games like you used to, I find. Like, you get them now. One time, it seemed like every week there was something new coming out on iOS that everybody was like, oh, man, you gotta try this. Whereas now, it seems like they're about a month or a month and a half apart, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's as much cool stuff coming to iOS anymore.
That's true. When did Deus Ex come out?
Deus Ex was last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, like August, I think, or... Yeah, I think it was summer.
Hmm.
That was the last really big one for me. That and Shadowrun Returns.
Right, yeah.
And, well, Baldur's Gate 2.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been, like there for a while, I found there was constantly something really cool.
Yeah.
And I'd sit down and I'd play it, and I'm like, man, this is really neat. And really
what was
well
the poncho game with knights you were playing?
Infinity Blade,
yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Infinity Blade was pretty cool.
Well, yeah. Was it 3 came out?
3 came out last fall, yeah.
Yeah.
Early, I think that was late summer, early, really early fall, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the really big release, the most recent big release would have been Flappy Bird.
And that wasn't a release. It was a total dump. And it clicked.
Yeah, it totally did. Man.
Sarah has it.
Does she have it?
She has it on her phone, yeah.
Does she?
Yeah.
Wow, she should put that up on Kijiji.
I got it, too.
Oh, do you? Really?
Are you going to sell your phone for, like, $6,000?
Yeah, okay.
You can?
Yeah, take it.
It's ridiculous.
Anyone out there in Bit Blast Processing Land?
Looking for a copy of Flappy Bird on a
shitty Google Galaxy Nexus that I beat up and probably pooped out at one point.
But it's got Flappy Bird on it.
Yeah, Flappy Bird.
It's gold now.
Yeah.
He turns out you can polish a turd.
Oh, also, those of you who are on Android, look up a few apps. That allow you to actually extract packages from your phone and back them up. You want to distribute copies of Flappy Bird? It's not hard.
Oh, really?
No.
I never did play it.
Android.
But
The minute I was reading about it, I had a guy email me.
Look up an app called Gemini App Manager.
No, I had a guy email me at the paper about Flappy Bird, and you know about how many clones have appeared in the wake of its disappearance and people selling phones and everything. And, you know, you go on, you look at a couple of gaming forum boards and everything, and there all seems to be people saying, you know, you don't need to pay $6,000 for a phone that has Flappy Bird on it. Here, there's a... You can get it at this website, or... You know, because nothing ever disappears from the internet.
Yeah. True that. Yeah, I never played it. I'd like to play it, I guess.
It's infuriating.
Is it really?
Sarah got addicted to it for like half a day.
Yeah.
And then basically just said, fuck this game, kind of like me playing Outlast.
Right.
You know, I played...
Yes, I played Outlast this today.
Was there poo?
No, but there could have been. There could have been.
I had 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
I was like, fuck this shit.
Wow.
So I was sitting there in the dark by myself.
Oh, I wouldn't play that in the dark, man.
It is one of the most intense games I've ever played.
It is. Yeah. I kept, every time the battery on my camera was beeping, I was like, no, gotta find a battery.
I will say it was even more freaky for me than Fatal Frame High as a Kite.
Oh, really?
Back in the day, yeah. Like, wow. That was, until now, that was probably the scariest game I had played.
Okay.
And not because I was stunned. Well, yeah, okay, probably because
right,
I was stunned.
Right.
But, yeah, no, it's worse.
How long is the game?
I don't know. Know. It's not short.
Yeah.
It's definitely not short.
Okay. Because I'm going to play through it. I'm going to keep playing it.
Where am I now? I'm a bit further into it. But it's... Yeah, man. Jesus.
Can't play it without...
I can play it in 15-minute chunks.
Okay.
And then I have to stop.
Right.
And then it's just like, you know what? No. No.
All right.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely not.
I just love the fact that you're not a fighter. And they even say it at the beginning, you know.
Yeah, you're a guy with a
camera.
You run and hide.
Yeah.
You run and you hide.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
If you were a fighter, man, you hear some guy behind you whispering, little fish.
Just, little fish.
Run anyway.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Rambo would run.
Oh, yeah.
That hasn't happened to me yet.
Oh. That was the first time I said fuck this game was right after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I just shit.
The second time I said fuck this game, I won't spoil it, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been...
That was a double shit.
Yeah. There were three of us here watching it that night, and it was just like, okay, turning it off now.
Now, Republic looked like a good game.
Republic did look, and it got really good reviews,
yeah,
too.
I've got it on my wish list, but I haven't picked it up yet.
How much is it these days?
It's $4.99.
Oh, Jesus, that's nothing.
Kevin should review, can I see your papers, please?
I heard that was actually a really good game.
Can I see your papers, please?
Papers, please, or whatever it's called. It's just called Papers, Please, isn't it?
Yeah, we...
Yeah, I guess.
You work as a...
Yeah, no, I've seen the gameplay of it.
Oh, okay, all right.
I also saw some gameplay today. We were talking about Thief earlier.
Yeah.
A game called a Very Organized Thief. And basically, you go into a house, right? And you've got a list of all the things that you need to steal from the house. And once you do, once you get everything from that list... Oh, sweet Flappy Bird. Once you get everything from the list, then you've beat the game, right? It's just an indie title, right?
So what you got to do is you get everything from the list, then you take it out to Monday Pond, drop it off.
Oh.
He gives you some oxys.
You got a flashlight, so you can, you can manipulate doors and switches and everything else. But every time you play the game, the list is different, right? You can pick up anything in the house, pretty much, but only the things that you need you can actually take and put in your
bag. That doesn't sound like that. That's no Monaco.
And you've got to do it before the people who own the house arrive.
So you got to time it.
Yeah, but you don't know what it is. There's no
set time. You don't
set
have
time,
countdown,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
You just see headlights flash across the living room.
Well, that's the thing. Like the gameplay I was watching today. Two boys from the Yogscast were playing it, and at one point, one of them was like, "Did you hear that?" It's like, "What? No, that sounds like a car. Look, there's a car outside. They're outside." So the other guy was like, "Ah!" And so he got into a closet and turned off his flashlight. And eventually, like, somebody came in, and you could see them through the crack in the thing. Yeah. I was like, man, for an indie title with not very good graphics, this is kind of intense.
Cool.
You know, because you're, like, hiding in this
closet. So is it a 3D game, or is it, like, sprite?
It's 3D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like that Going Home or whatever one.
Yeah, except not as good graphics.
As Going Home?
No.
Wow. That must be ugly.
Well, it's very indie, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so fed up with indie games. I bet it's first person, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's first person.
Indie game publishers. Do you know what third person means?
Well,
seriously.
But first person, you don't have to do the person.
Oh, it's so much more immersive, because all you see is your hands. Fuck off.
Not if you're playing feet.
Some gameplay works better in third person.
Well, this one I think works fine in first person. Anyway, it was pretty intense, and eventually the person like opened up the closet, then like started beating you to death, and then it ended, right? It's like you fail, right? But kind of a neat little game.
And then the person who beat you to death got arrested for manslaughter, and
not unless it was in Texas.
Oh yeah, well, that's right. The stand your ground rule. You mustn't forget about the stand your ground rule.
Yeah.
Well,
there you have it. That's what I've been playing and looking at. And all that.
All right, so before we call it a weekend, we do this every week. We always have some kind of a little ramble at the end. Myself and John both tackled this last week. Since you weren't here, we're going to ask Mr. Woolrich. You ready?
I'm on the spot.
You are on the spot.
Okay.
Number one.
I got to go to the washroom.
Okay. Best game of 2013. It's been a while, we know, but...
What did I play in 2013?
You played a lot. Come on now.
2013. Time doesn't really mean anything to me anymore.
Time is only relevant. Time is irrelevant.
It is.
It's relative.
What was 2013?
It was the year was after year. This year.
That was the Tomb Raider year?
Yes.
Yeah. What else was there?
You didn't even look at my article, did you? My thing on the blast processing
stuff? I'll read your stuff.
The 20 games. 20 games from 2013, you know?
You suck, Woolrich.
I just laughed like the guy
I'm
from the last
your
Starfighter.
Potato chips.
Tomb Raider was deadly.
Tomb Raider was amazing.
Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed 3 was 2013? No, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag.
Right.
Black Flag.
I can help you.
Even though no one remembers it, Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry was 2013.
I gotta give it to Tomb Raider, man. That was a fucking awesome experience.
Arkham Origins.
I still gotta get the Tomb Raider. Yep.
Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
That was what I said, too.
Oh, nice.
Now, number two.
That's also what I said.
most... Wow. We have a unanimous game of the year.
Hey.
You guys should give each other a high five.
Go Team Venture.
We're terrible. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt you guys if you high-five me. I high-five Aikerman all the time.
What's the second question?
Second question. Most underrated game of 2013.
Most underrated?
Game you love the most that nobody else seemed to play or like.
Okay. The game that I love the most that nobody seemed to play amongst the people that I know would have probably been Hearthstone, actually.
Yeah, but that was a beta.
Yeah, it's an open beta.
2012.
Man. Inferno was 2012, I'm pretty sure. I don't know anybody who played the Room 2 actually came out in 2013.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, in December.
That was pretty hyped, though.
Yeah, but I don't know anybody who played it.
It got good reviews and stuff, though. I'm talking, like, underrated, you know. Overlooked, underappreciated.
Like we said last year, Fuse came out, and everybody in the community, and gaming community, critic community, took a great big dumperoo on it, and
yeah,
it was actually pretty good. Or, you know, Remember Me came out, and nobody actually played it.
Remember Me was my pick.
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
No?
No, I can't.
Because you're not a gamer.
Oh, you sons of bitches.
Hey, I never said that.
Yeah, you thought it, though.
I wasn't even thinking it. Ha! Until you said it.
Yeah. Oh. No, I can't actually answer that. Well, I mean, you guys know me, right? I'm usually a few years behind everybody else.
This is true.
Okay, so what was in 2010, what was the game you liked?
Yeah, no, I can't answer that question.
You can't answer that question? Or no. You won't answer that question?
I can't and I won't, sir.
Right? Yep. All right, well, fine.
Yeah.
Kev doesn't have an underrated or underappreciated game for 2013.
No, I mean... When did Oceanhorn come out?
That was 2013.
Oceanhorn.
Oceanhorn's a pretty awesome game.
It is an awesome game. It was, yeah. And it kind of came and nobody noticed it.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody really paid any attention to it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Actually.
I agree.
Yeah.
Good choice.
There you go, Oceanhorn.
Oceanhorn it is.
Alright.
So there you go. Kev's picks.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider, like myself and Mr. Mercer. So Tomb Raider is now Blast Processing's official game of the year for 2013.
Yeah.
And Oceanhorn is most overrated.
Yeah, definitely.
So that about settles, that seals the deal, I think.
Does it seal the deal?
Does that seal the deal? What do you think, Mr. Mercer?
Yeah, that settles the books.
Signed, sealed, and delivered?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sealed with a kiss.
Settles our accounts.
Oh, you. I want to watch Megaforce now.
Stop it, Duke.
You stole my
great poster from Megaforce. I saw recently online.
No, I was talking to John in the background. He's doing something.
You're sick. You're a sick man.
Larry doesn't even know what that is.
Well, I didn't even look, so I don't know. No.
All right.
You know, another one I probably would have picked as most underrated or underappreciated or whatever in 2013?
Go ahead.
Dead Space 3. People kind of seemed middling on Dead Space 3, and that was a fucking phenomenal game, man.
I still haven't played through it.
That was a great game.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I never played the first two either.
Or Beyond, Two Souls.
The first one.
That was an awesome game, too.
Well...
There you have it.
There you have it, folks.
We'll see you next week. We'll be back next week when I'll probably be talking about South Park, The Stick of Truth. I don't know what Mr. Mercer is going to be talking about.
Probably Donkey Kong.
Oh, and I'll have another big one, too.
Yeah.
I'll have a huge
have a huge one.
I'll have a huge one.
Steve's going to handle his monsters with swords. Me? I'm going to throw barrels at him.
I will have, I'm sure there will be much discussion of Dark Souls 2.
Right.
Probably by all
much
three
discussion
of us.
About how he got to the first boss and got crushed 60
no,
times.
No, I'm thinking that'll be one we'll probably play for an hour or so before the podcast, too, just to kind of...
How is that even fair? It's 60 feet tall!
We'll be talking about that for sure.
Yeah.
So, next week, Dark Souls 2, South Park, Stick of Truth, Donkey Kong, Tropical Freeze.
Yep.
Anything to add, Mr. Woolridge?
I could talk a little bit about Arcade Pinball. That's a really nice game on PlayStation 4 that I've been playing the shit out of.
Next week's not the 31st, is it?
No.
Okay, because there's one episode I've got to break Steve's heart and in-depth review of Shovel Knight.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm down with that. It's not arcade pinball, it's pinball arcade.
Zen pinball?
No, not Zen pinball.
Okay.
Pinball arcade.
Oh, okay.
Which is much better.
Alright, so if you've been listening to this, we are Blast Processing.
You are the resistance.
Maybe.